Today's daf is Tainis daf Lamed Aleph, the last af slash Amud, the last page of the Masechta, very short. We left off on Lamed Amud Beis in the middle of the page, a little before the middle of the page, actually, by the two dots. We'll pick it up from the two dots just before, again, about 45% of the way down the page. We are continuing our conversation, which is describing the dinim of the Mishnah, which we said we compared in the Mishnah, Machlokes Chachamim and Rehuda, whether we compare Avelos completely to Tisha B'Av, what an Avel does to Tisha B'Av. We had a Gemara yesterday where we said that whatever Avel's Aser in Tisha B'Av is also Aser, a general regular person in Tisha B'Av is Aser, in whatever an Avel is Aser in the 7 days. And we explained that means the Rishonim spoke out the Gabi Isurim. But when it comes to positive dinim, such as covering the head, turning over the bed, it's going to be Mechleikis right now. That may not be the case that we automatically compare Tisha B'Av to an Avel, and that'll be our conversation right now about the turning over the bed. Says the Gemara. We're two dots, Lamed Amud Beis, around 40% of the way down the page. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev Bekviyas Mita. Rabbi Yehuda's Mechayev turning over the bed. Rabbi Yehuda says on Tisha B'Av we have to turn over the beds. The Chachamim didn't agree. We're going to see the Gemara is going to very much qualify where the Mechleikis is. They actually agree. In most scenarios, it's very specific what they disagree about. Tanya. Learn to the Baisim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Lidvarecha. The Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, according to your words, that you have to take on the Chumra like an Avil and turn over the beds. Ubrais Umenikais Matelan. Women that are nursing, women that just gave, that are pregnant, who they can't sleep on the ground. For them, turning over the bed is obviously meaning the bed is rendered useless and they sleep on the ground. But they can't sleep on the ground. They can't afford to. They're not physically able to. So what are they going to do? Amalam Sri Zabek the Chamim Avada. Afanila Matiela Biyachel. I only said that they have to turn over the bed and sleep on the upside down bed. Those who are unable cannot. Tana Mihachi. The backs up this conversation that we just had. There are Yehuda's Ma'id Chamim that ain't Yachal, those who cannot sleep on the floor, who can't sleep in the overturned bed, they're allowed to sleep on a bed on Tisha B'Av. And the flip said, the Chamim Ma'id Yehuda, those who could sleep on the floor are Taka Mechiv to do so. If that's the case, ask Gemara, my Benayim. So what's Taka Mechlik is? Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Chamim, those that can not sleep on the floor don't have to. And the Chamim agrees to those that can, yes, sleep on the floor, do have to. So where's the argument? Now, Nafkina is the other beds of the house that are not being used for sleeping. Is there an inyan to turn over those beds as well or not? Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, we turn over the other beds. And the Chachamim say, you don't turn over the other beds, only the beds that are used for sleeping. Other beds need not be turned over. That is the point of contention. When they said to turn over the beds, he does not only turn over his bed that he uses to sleep on. And the Komites Kulan, who turns over all the beds, any bed in the house, he turns over. That is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. And that's where the Rabban argue and say that no, he need not turn over the beds that he's not sleeping on. Amar Rava says Rava Hilchos Katana Dan Halacha is like our Tana of our Mishnah who said where we said what for the Chachamim don't agree Kol Iker, meaning they don't agree with Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda at all, which seems to say the Gemara again it's not the Lashon of the Mishnah, it's not Kol Iker, but the Lashon of the Gemara is saying is Rava is being medayik the Mishnah, just says Stam Lehedle, no qualifications, sounds like Chachamim don't agree at all, meaning not only are the beds that are not in use, not only the beds that are not in use don't need to be turned over, but even the beds that normally are used don't need to be turned over. Meaning a person's allowed to sleep in his bed. That's the Hilchasa. L'maisa, it's brought down l'alacha maisa, even though Rav is passing like the Chacham is brought down l'alacha, that if one is able to, one should try to sleep on the floor on Tisha B'Av instead of his bed. If that's extreme, not absolute chiyuv, but it's laudable to do that. And even if one can't do that, he sleeps in his bed. But if he's normal to sleep with two pillows, he should sleep with one pillow. He's ragel to sleep with two. He should sleep with one. He should try to take away a little bit of his normal comfort on Tisha B'Av. So it is Bar Lalacha, even though Rav is saying that we go like the more lenient Shita Chamim, the Shita Chamim that we had in our Mishnah, not even the Shita Chamim, the Braisa, the Shita Chamim of our Mishnah, which is the most lenient, still, there is a Hanhaga to try to be Machmer to an extent, and at least try to make one's life, again, a little less comfortable, which means sleeping on the floor if one can, or at least removing two pillows, or one pillow, whatever it is, whatever he sleeps on, trying to make it a little less comfortable than usual. Okay. Amar Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel. We said in the Mishnah, "Lehayit Yom Tovim liYisrael Chamisha Asa Ba'af liYom Kippurim." So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said in the Mishnah that there weren't Yom Tovim Klal Yisrael like Yom Kippur and Shivas and Tu Ba'av, the 15th of Av. The Gemara now is really going to get into a conversation. We know Yom Kippur has obvious milos. We'll speak of that in a second. But Tu B'Av, what was the milos, especially of Tu B'Av? And this Gemara is very much the elaboration. The Gemara is going to make six different things that happened, reasons to celebrate in Tu B'Av. And the same Gemara is, very similar Gemara, is brought in Bava Basra as well. Okay. Says Gemara, Bishlam Kippurim, Yom Kippur, I understand, is a special day. Why? Bishud this be slicha u'mechila. It has forgiveness, kapara, and Yom Shidu by Luchas Achreinus. And it's also the day we got second Luchas. Rashi makes the whole cheshbon. Moshe Benin went up on a Sinai, came down 40 days later, Shivas B'Tamas, he broke the Luchas, went back up, and then he came down again on Yom Kippur with the Luchas Shnias. So there's two beautiful milos. That's why it's a major simcha, a Yom Tov Klai Yisrael. El Tuba of Mahi. What is the Yom Tov Tuba? Before we go further, there's a beautiful, beautiful Beis HaLevi who elaborates, the Beis HaLevi elaborates, when our Gemara says that there's two milos of Yom Kippur, the Slicha Mechila, and there's Yom Shinu by Luchas Shnias. The simple taich, and I believe the Ein Yaakov, which is a famous pirish on Agata Gemaras, obviously. So I believe the Ein Yaakov is one that explains that that like we just said, that's two separate milos. However, the Beis Levi is Meirich, and the Beis Levi explains that the Luchas Shnias and Luchas Hashanas were inherently different. The Luchas Hashanas, they came down, they were like he actually makes a comparison. The Gemara tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu has a connection to Klai Yisrael through the Torah Shabbat path. Through the Torah Shabbat, he has a connection to Klai Yisrael. What's the chiluk between Luchas Shnias and Luchas Hashanas? Luchas Hashanas was so clear, just like we have Chazal tell us, you're able to read the Luchas from both sides, from front and back. The Luchas were legible, so you're able to read it, so to speak. You're able to read the words both directions. So too, the meaning, the deeper meanings behind everything that was in the Luchas was also very clear in the Luchas Hashanas. In the Luchas Shnias, it wasn't as clear. Why was that? Why is that a Mila? Why is that a benefit? Says the Beis Levi, beautiful, that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Sinai and saw Klai Yisrael being busy with the chait of the eagle. And Moshe Rabbeinu is troubled. How could a nation that was saw so many nisim, saw the makas, saw Kriyas Yam Suf, jump right into a chait of avodah zarah of eagle? How could it be? And Moshe Rabbeinu realized, because, and this is a famous idea in Chazal, that the Balamus speak about this already, Ra Shifchal Yam, Mashal Chesma Muzi, that the nisim that they saw were amazing, but it also led their emuna to be from what they saw. They saw amazing nisim, and therefore that they had no choice. Of course they have emuna, because they saw amazing nisim, but it wasn't an emuna that was as ice garbage, that was worked out as much as possible, because it wasn't like a difficult challenge to Libin Hashem when you're seeing black white nisim. And therefore, when they were faced with the challenge, with Moshe Rabbeinu being late and the Satan being ma'ir them and the opportunity for the Chet Eagle, they fell right in. Moshe Rabbeinu realized that in order for Klai Yisrael to have an everlasting connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's got to be something that they have malice, they schwitz over, they work on. Luchas Shnias were taka not as clear. Luchas Shnias were not as clear. Luchas Shnias required more schwitzing, more haravanya. And therefore, says the Beis HaLevi, therefore, the Luchas Shnias were not just separate from Slicha Mechila. Luchas Shnias were directly related to Slicha Mechila. Luchas Shnias, here's where he takes it one step further, are like the parchment for the Sefer Torah, like the parchment of Sefer Torah. And what does that mean? That means as follows. We're going to have a lachas, a nice connection to Megillah. In Masechta Megillah, we're going to have, there's a chilek between Tashmishei Kedusha versus Tashmishei Mitzvah. Tashmishei Mitzvah, the halacha is that one can dispose of it when you're done. If a person has a shefer, a lulav, he's finished the esrog, he finished with the mitzvah, he dispose of it. You shouldn't do it. Shlebi der kavi, you put it in a bag before you put it in the garbage, let's say, but you can really just dispose of it. Tashmishei Kedusha, they're inherently Kaddish, they need kfura, they need to be buried, they're inherently Kaddish. Says the Beis HaLevi, Klal Yisrael became like the parchment for the Luchas Shnias, for the Torah. They became Tashmishei Kedusha. That's part of the connection. And therefore, they guaranteed Klal Yisrael will always have the opportunity for Slicha Mechila. Because since it's Tashmishei Kedusha, they can't be discarded. Therefore, they guaranteed the opportunity for Slicha Mechila. Says the Beis HaLevi, Luchas Shnias is connected to Slicha Mechila. The power that we got through Luchas Shnias is goof of the same power that gives us the opportunity for Slicha Mechila. Very big Yisrael, Beis HaLevi. It will come up again actually later in today's af. This same idea will come up again. Later, I think for Shachter, Shtelz it to our daf later. We'll see. Okay. That is all Gemara says. By the way, that's the celebration. We understand very clearly the celebration for Yom Kippur, very clear. What about for Tu B'Av? Amar Vidush, well, the Muslim makes six answers now. Answer number one. Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lav Ezebezeh. It was the day that the Shvatim became permitted to marry one another. Meaning, in the first generation, after the Eretz was split up, the Shvatim couldn't marry each other. Only after one generation, when they mutter, how did they become mutter? And the reason why they couldn't marry mutter, the Ritzvah explains, because it would directly affect the Nachlas. If they marry into each other, and the Nachlas aren't even established yet, it's going to mess up which Shevet owns which land, because the land could be traveling from Shevet to Shevet. Only once the boundaries and the Shvatim were established, could they marry in from one shave to the other? My darsh was the drasha. Zeh davar shesiv Hashem livnei safchan. Dav is leinayik ela b'darzeh. This din that we discussed about b'nei safchan, it says zeh davar is telling us that it's only nayik in this dar. In this dar is nayik, future daris is no longer nayik. Okay, so they learned, they darshan this, that when was this darshan, we're saying? This was darshan on Tu B'Av. Therefore, it was the Yantar. The Gemara's reaction explains, he takes a step further, he says, and we'll have a similar question to this idea later, but he says, if the Isser to marry from generation, from Shevet to Shevet was only for one generation, why is it a celebration when that generation's over? The Isser was a time-related Isser, and once the time's up, it becomes Mutter, why is it a celebration? So he explains the attack of this Drusha, where they became clear to them that the Isser was only for one generation, that Kufa was Darshan on Tu B'Av. That's how the Gemara relearns this Gemara. And again, like we said, the Ritva in Sefer, the Ritva make a mistake, maybe it's the Rebbeinu B'chai. I forget if it's the Rebbeinu B'chai, the Chumash, or the Ritva, I'm forgetting now, but one of them explained that the idea is that for the first generation, they don't want to have intermarriage, so to speak, between Shvatim, because it would lead to confusion of the boundaries. Amar Beis Rebbeinu Nachman. Next explanation, why Tu B'Av is a celebration. It was the day that Shev B'Yamim was permitted to come into the cow. Shenemar v'ish Yisrael nishpa b'mitzvah lemer ish b'menu le'itan b'nei l'v'yamin ilisha. This is if the story, obviously the famous story of Pelegish B'Giv, it's a story where a lot of men from Shev B'Yamin had relations with the Pelegish and give until she died, and as a punishment they said, you cannot give your daughters to marry into Shev B'Yamin. So Kolzman, that this was an effect. So there was a whole shevet of Kai, so it was isolated. The shevet was isolated. No one could marry into them. They weren't able to marry out of the shevet. When they released that Isser, that Gzeira, it was the Yomtiv, and that's Tu B'Av. My Darsh, what are they Darshan to release the Yomtiv? Amrav B'menu V'lem B'menu. Dafka, that generation that was around, that by the Plagish B'Giva, Dafka, that generation is Asr B'menu, but often their children would be permissible, similar to the Drasha that we said about the first generation being Asr for Shvatim in general to marry each other after they took over at Yisrael, so to the first generation after the story of Pelegish B'Giva, afterwards the children already were mutter. That's explanation number two in the Yom Tov. Explanation number three, Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yechanan, Yemshkol Meisei Midbar. That was the day at the Meisei Midbar were finished. If you look in this Rashi's Ma'ariach a bit, we'll just take out the main points. Rashi over here, Shekola by Meis Midbar, Rashi explains the famous idea that we know, of course, after the Mechitim Raglim, they were told that none of them were going to live out, all the people, that generation of 2060, were not going to live out and get to go to Yisrael, they're going to die in the Midbar. So every year, Tisha B'Av, they would go, dig themselves a grave, lie down by the grave, and whoever was supposed to die would die, and the next morning there'd be a big Ram girl, wake up and separate the Chayim from the Meis, and whoever was alive would get up out of the grave and was still alive. In the 40th year, Tisha B'Av, everybody got up, no one died because that was last year. So that last year, apparently, they weren't supposed to die. There's a whole question in the mathematics. Was that part of the cheshbon or not? If it was, why attack it and they die? If it wasn't, what's the chiddush? What's the salvation? But that year, the year they stopped dying, the 40th year, it's actually machlokes v'shainim. We won't get to the crux of it. In Bav Basra, Tesis learns that actually, if you do the math, 600,000 people, if they're dying every year, over 40 years, roughly, so it's 15,000 people every year we're going to die. Tais Bayas has a number of 20,000 and a little bit. Tais Bayas, and the Rishonim say it must be a girsa issue because 20,000 a little bit over 40 years would come out to 800,000 people. The numbers don't work, so they switch the girsa. But the point is, Tais Bayas says very clearly that the 15,000 that was supposed to die the last year, Taka were saved. That was what was part of the miracle, that the last 15,000 that were supposed to die didn't die. They were saved. Other Rishonim learned that no. All the people that were supposed to die died out, but it's still a celebration, kind of like Lag BaOmer, where all the Rebbe Akiva's Talmidim, Nebuchadnezzar, you celebrate when they stop dying, but they're all dead. So Nebuchadnezzar, they all passed on. So what are you celebrating? But the same idea, L'maisa, the Mises, stop, it's time to pack up and rebuild. Okay, but what does that do with the 15th? That was Tisha B'Av. So Rashi elaborates further. If you go to that Rashi brings on the first white line at the bottom of the page, Rashi says that when they all woke up, they thought they made a mistake. Maybe it wasn't the 9th. Maybe they had the wrong day in the calendar. Came along. Once they reached the 15th, where they already saw on the 15th that it's already, you already have the full moon. Once they have a full moon and they still were alive, they realized it's for sure past the 9th already, and that's when they're able to celebrate, to know in certainty, and no longer were they dying, they may say, a midbar. Okay. Says the Gemara further, that is reason number three. That is the day when the Meis Midbar stopped dying. As long as the people are dying in the Midbar, the Dibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know, spoke to Meisha Aspakar Yam Ira in a clear appearance. It wasn't like other Nevi'im where they got to go to sleep and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their sleep. It wasn't so clear. Meisha Ben had a clear direct line with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but ever in the Midbar, it wasn't the same. In the Midbar, it was not the same. And what happened? What happened? Only after the Mace Midbar stopped dying did it return back to the normal fashion. Says Gemara Shnemar, Vikesh Tamaka Anshe Mechama, Vaidabar Shem Eli, Lamas, Vaidabar Shem Eli. After the Anshe Mechama died, then it's Dabar Shem Eli. Eli Hayadibur means Eli was only then was a direct to, back to Moshe Rabbeinu in the usual fashion of Moshe Rabbeinu. Till that point, it was not in the regular fashion. So that's again reason number three. Celebration of Tu B'Av is the Mesa Midrash stopped dying and the vision came back to Moshe Rabbeinu in the regular fashion. Number four, Ula Amar Yom Shabbat Lishay, but Allah personally that was the day that Yeshua ben Allah removed the. Remember, we said, we had a couple of months ago, Yerubim ben Nevat set up these officers and he set up the actual Avodah Zarah. He didn't want people to go be on the regular because he was in a fight with Rechavam, who's the Melech of Yehuda, the Melech of Eretz Yisrael, of Yishlayim. And if the people go be on the regular, that would give much more credence to the power of Rechavam. So he wanted to avoid them to be, wanted to make them avoid going on the regular. So he set up officers, he set up Avodah Zarah on the way to be a shter. So Hashem ben Allah, he reopened the freedom. Now we'll see, look at the top Rashi on Amal in a second. Rashi is very clearly, Hashem ben Allah was not a tzaddik. Far from it. He was a Rasha. But he went down with that freedom. You want to worship Avodah Zarah? Worship. You don't want to worship? Don't. He went down with that freedom. So he took away that blockage. Those that want to go up, let them go up. Says Gemara, Shahishiv Rabbi Nevat, Al Durachim, Yav Nevat, Al Durachim, Shal Yal Yisrael the Regal, Nor the Kaiso Shagot, Be Al Regal. The Amar, and Hashem ben Allah said, top of Lamed Alf and Alf, La'ez Ashir Sayalu, to whatever they want to go up and worship, which obviously is not. That's not something we like. To whatever they want to go up and worship, that's not something which is we're happy with. But Lamaisa, it did open up for the people that want to go up to Yishlayim to be other regal. It did open it up, and therefore it was on Tu B'Av, and therefore that's the day of celebration. The Gemara brings a fifth reason why Tu B'Av is celebration. That was the day when the Harugi Beitar were given over Kfura. You know, we spoke out that Harugi Beitar, was like after the Mace Mish was destroyed, there was at least an area that they were able to gather together and they're still learning there. And then that area itself ended up getting destroyed. This area of Beitar was destroyed in the revolt by the Bar Kochva. And what happened was that for a while, for a few months, they didn't let the Kali Yisrael bury the Mesim. So these Mesim were sitting out for a few months, unburied, in a lack of a covered Ames type of fashion. What happened? They were allowed to bury when? On Tu B'Av. Vamar Masa, or Masa says, two needs to happen then. The day that they allowed to bury the Ruge Beitar was Tikna, the in Yavne, Teva Meitiv. What's the bracha of Teva Meitiv? Double Teva Meitiv. Why? HaTev Shleya Srichu. Teva because the Mesim, Derech Neis, stayed fresh all the time they were outside, left. They didn't decompose. And Vameitiv, they actually were able to be buried. Vameitiv Shinu L'Kvura. Vameitiv was that they didn't look Kvura. So here's where Hershel Shachter Shtol Su, that idea that could be got it from the Rav, who's of course a grandson of the Beis HaLevi. Shtol Su, the idea we said before, that Klal Yisrael was destined to end up being buried, to not be left out, because Klal Yisrael, because they have a din of a Tashmishe Kedusha, Klai Yisrael has a status of Tashmishe Kedusha, it doesn't pass Tashmishe Kedusha, we know Avedin, it's supposed to be buried, and therefore, this was a Hashlamah of that same idea, of Klai Yisrael being buried, like Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, even when they're no longer being used, they still are buried. Klai Yisrael ultimately was Zeicha, the Chamim, the people that were killed in Beitar, were ultimately Zeicha to be buried. Okay, and they made a Brachot of Meitiv, and that was the celebration of Tu B'Av, according to the fifth Pshat, according to the sixth and final Pshat, Rabbi Beis Tamar Chavayim, Yom Shepasku Melichres Eitzim Melarecha. That was the day when they finished cutting trees for the Atzei Meracha. We learned that from the 15th of Av and on, the sun's strength starts to get weaker, which is interesting because normally we say the sun's strength gets weaker at a time in the solar calendar. It makes sense. If you want to say every year, it would be, you want to make up a date, let's just arbitrarily pick a date, August 1st. That makes sense because it's extremely consistent every year. The temperatures and the seasons are very consistent with the solar calendar. We know the lunar calendar, it's not so consistent, which is why we actually have to add an extra month. So Chag HaAviv should work out on Pesach time, and we shouldn't start falling back too far earlier. The seasons are out of place. But it's interesting that we still take for granted the 15th of Av, that's the cutoff point where the sun is at its hottest and starts to get less hot. And therefore the wood is no longer as dry and therefore it's no longer as fit to be wood for the Mizbeach. So that was the cutoff point for cutting wood for the Mizbeach. So that was the celebration. The strength of the sun is weaker. They no longer cut the wood for the pyre, for the Mizbeach, because it's not dry enough. Tavar Magal. They called that the day of breaking the axe, meaning they finished using the axe because they finished cutting wood on that day for the Marach. Now it's interesting, Rashbam over there in Bava Basra explains that the celebration is like a siyum. They finish this gevaldik mitzvah of preparing wood for the meracha, and when you finish a mitzvah, so to speak, it's like a siyum. You celebrate, the celebration is like a siyum. And this is one of the famous basic ideas. They make a siyum when you finish a mesechta, you finish a seder and gemara, you make a siyum, because when you complete a mitzvah, when you complete something, it's siyum worthy, it's worthy of a celebration. That's the idea of Tubav, according to the Rashbam. Of course, the other famous idea of why make a siyum is, of course, the member from Abaye. We had it in mesechta's Shabbos, maybe Pesachim also, I believe. We had it for sure. We had it in Seder Mayan in the past year or so. We had a bias says tastily, it's in the pays. Tastily, it's coming to me that I'm going to get schar. Why? Because whenever Talmud Chacham, whenever one of the suver derabbanans finish a mesechta, I make yom tavel derabbanan. I make a siyum as a celebration. That's also a clear indication that there's, you know, making a siyum when you finish some sort of accomplishment of learning. You make a siyum. So to over here, we have finishing a mitzvah siyum. That is all the Rashbam. Rabbi Gershom over there says in Bava Basra, Rabbi Gershom or Rabbi Chanan. Again, I'm forgetting which one who it is, but he says over there in Bava Basra that the celebration was, they now have time to learn Torah. Unbelievable. Right? Now that they finished cutting the wood, they have more time to learn Torah. That's worthy of making a celebration. That was the celebration of Tu B'Av, according to, if you go not like the Rashbam. Okay. Mekam Eilach. From after Tu B'Av, to Maisif Yosef, one who adds to his learning is Gevaldik, is great, he adds to his life. With Le Maisif, one who doesn't add to his learning, Yasef, he'll be gathered. My Yasef was Yasef mean. Amar Yasef, Tikre Ime, his mother should bury him. What does it mean? His mother will bury him. Says Rashi, that means he'll die early, he'll die, not be eaten. If he doesn't learn extra when the nights are long, his mother will bury him. There's really two ideas, what the emphasis over here is. Either simply, they used to work in the field, so cause when they had daylight outside, they could work in the field. So we have the summer where it's a lot of light from early in the morning till late at night. They could be working in the field very many, many hours. There's less hours a night to learn. But in the winter, where you can't work outside in the field anyway, that's the primary work. You can't do work in the dark anyway in the winter time. So there's no excuse not to be learning there. That's one simple malach. Another malach is that it's almost opposite, that people think that when it's light outside, it's easy to learn. When it's dark, you have to light by the candle. It may be shluf time because it's dark. So you may think that in the winter, we sleep more and we learn less than we learn in the summer because it's already dark earlier. Kamash Bundy, have to learn at least the same amount in the winter as we still learn in the summer. We shouldn't learn less just because it gets dark earlier. Okay, two different malachim, but the same general idea about not being lax or hopping around to make sure you learn even in the winter as the nights get longer. One should still be hopping around and learning. We know actually the Iker learning, Chazal tells that the Iker time a person learns without distractions, that it is a tzlacha, is learning at night. A person who has learning in his house at night, the house is protected. One who doesn't have learning in his house at night, the Gemara tells us that chlila, bad things could happen. He doesn't have the protection of the learning in his house at night. Okay, so the Gemara says over here another idea, that is, if he wants to be zechut to long life, he should learn more, particularly when the nights get longer, but he should learn more at night in his house. At night, I shouldn't say his house, but he should learn more at night when the nights get longer. Okay. We said on Tu B'Av, the Bnei Yisrael would get dressed up, borrowed clothing from their friends, so no one whoever doesn't have won't be mevuyish, and they would go try to find a shidduch. Says the Gemara. Tanabarim. Bas Melech shells from Bas Kohen Gadol, Bas Melech would borrow from Bas Kohen Gadol. Bas Kohen Gadol would borrow from Bas Skan from the Skan Kohen Gadol. Bas Kam and Bas Kohen Meshuach. Bas Kam would borrow from the Bas Kohen Meshuach. That's the one who was Meshuach Bechama. He's the one that was anointed. He used to give speeches. He used to give inspiration before they went out to battle. Bas Kohen Meshuach Bechama. Bas Meshuach Bechama. Bas Kohen Hedit borrows from regular Kohen Hedit. Chal Yisrael Shal Zalzah. And the rest of Chal Yisrael all each borrow from each other. And the idea of everyone borrowing is Kedesh L'Yisparish Esmish Enlai, in order that no one should be embarrassed. Chal Kehem Tunit Tefillah, we said, all Kehlem, all the Begadim need Tefillah. Amar B'Lazar, Afilim B'Kepam, Nechem B'Kupsa. Even those that are folded and lying away in the cabinet, which you could assume was for sure Tar, we're saying it all requires Mikvah in order to make a Galei Plug, that they shouldn't have a situation where either someone was not tar and they're embarrassed to clean it, or in general, we don't want to create a situation. Some people have the same idea of being embarrassed. We don't want someone to be embarrassed that their clothing needs to be cleaned, others don't need to be cleaned. So all clothing is borrowed and all clothing is recleaned is in the mikvah in order to make sure that now it's tar. B'nai Yisrael Yetzav Chalas B'Karmim, the B'nai Yisrael would go out and they would dance the vineyard. So our Mishnah, elaborates on the conversation there. Our Gemara is going to bring a brisa. Our Mishnah discusses what they tell the boys about what to look for. The Gemara is going to bring a brisa that elaborates further. First, says the Gemara, Tana, when the brisa, Misha and the Ishan of Hashem, all the Bachrim, all the single men would go, whoever's missing a wife would go there to try to find the wife from the Bnei that were gathered dancing in the vineyards. We said in the Mishnah, those who are distinct would say, make sure you look at the family. Now the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates really more on what the Mishnah said. Tana, Banu. The beautiful ones, we didn't have this in our Mishnah. The beautiful ones, what would they say? My Imers? Check out beauty. Go look for beauty. A woman is only for beauty. This is the say we had anywhere elsewhere. The Mar does bring this lashon. The Mar brings that a woman, if a man marries a beautiful woman, so it takes care of his taivas. It gives him das rachava. He has more of a chavas das. There's a mila to definitely a mila to have. There's also challenges, but there's a mila to have a beautiful wife. So the women who are very, very attractive, they would say that. They would use that as their sales pitch. Okay. The one who had yichas, my yam is what they say. Look at the mishpacha. If you shenish lebanim, what's the point of really having a wife to raise children for you? And therefore, you want someone from a good mishpacha to know, because you can assume she'll be able to raise the children in a richtig aveg. Mucharis, shemem my yamers. What would the unattractive women, right? What would they say? Take for yourself a mechlem l'shem shemayim. Get married for the purpose of getting married in order to have children, but don't focus on any of that stuff. However, after marriage, make sure to beautify us, make sure to adorn us with jewelry. What's this at that level of knesh? So I understand why they're saying don't focus on all the other things, because maybe we won't be so desirable. Focus on the mitzvah getting married, the shemayim, and therefore just take us, even though we're not attractive. But bavad, they give us jewelry. So it's a beautiful sushtel from Rav Yaakov Emden, I believe it is. Beautiful sushtel from Rav Yaakov Emden. He says, it's either, again, the reason I'm confusing, Rav Yaakov Emden was the Yavetz with the Ayin, and there's a period in the back of the Gemara, the Yavetz with the Blaze Marsha Horowitz, with the Aleph. So I'm forgetting which one it was, but one of them, Michelle Sue, beautifully, a Gemara, which says, the Gemara brings a story that is a fellow, it was a common practice back in the day that a person would marry his sister's daughter. Why? Because finding shtichim, just like today, for girls was always was a challenge. And therefore, if the person, the mother would be comfortable that her own brother is going to marry the niece, he's going to have rachmanis, treat her properly. And therefore, it was a common practice. There was a girl that was unfortunately not so attractive. And the brother of the uncle, the brother of the mother, made a neder not to have any hana, not to benefit from her, in order to avoid having an issue of being uncomfortable of having to marry her. I mean, it's probably really obvious why he made the neder, but he made the neder in order that it should be a avoid any complications about him having to marry his niece. What happened? They adorned her and they dressed her up and made her look much more desirable. And they brought her in front of him and they said to him, did you make a neder against this girl? He said, this girl? Nah, never made a neder against this girl. It was the same girl, but he didn't realize. So they absolved him with the neder. But the Mara says over there, what do you see? You see that B'nai Yisrael are really all beautiful. It's just the ones that don't come across being so beautiful. It's the anias, it's the poverty that makes them less attractive. Says, again, we'll quote just the Yavetz. Says the Yavetz, beautiful, that over here, the nashim that were unbecoming, the ones that were not attractive, said, "Marry us, shemayim, ubavadi, you give us jewelry, because like the Gemara says elsewhere, as long as you take away the anias and you put us in a matzav shiras, we'll also be beautiful. The anias is what causes all Bnei Yisrael are beautiful, if not for the fact that there's anias." Okay, and ends the Gemara, the Masechta, with a beautiful idea of what's going to be in the future. The connection is because it discusses the relationship between Akash Baruch Hu and the tzaddikim in particular. It's also like a marriage. Amar Ulubiyira, Amar Belazar. Also, Akash Baruch Hu lasses machal tzaddikim. Akash Baruch Hu in the future is going to make a machal la tzaddikim, a circle with the tzaddikim. For who yeshev beineim began Edim. And he's going to sit inside the circle, amongst the tzaddikim. Chalacha vecha mar betzvayin. Each one of the tzaddikim are going to point with their finger. Shenem, like it says, I'm going to read most of the pasuk, not the full pasuk, for those that want to say for see him. Vamar b'emahu, hine elekenu zeh, hinu elekenu zeh kivinu loy, v'yeshienu zeh Hashem kivinu loy. I won't say the last three words, but the point is, it's a lashon of, they're going to sit and point at Hashem and say, this is Hashem. So Akash Baruch Hu is going to make a circle surrounded by tzaddikim, and each one's be Mara Be'etzboi. One quick shot, Mahalach, they bring from both B'Shem Rekiva Eger and B'Shem Chafetz Chaim, brought maybe different pieces of the same idea. There's a few points on the circle. First of all, the idea of the circle is that in a circle, if you have a circle and you have the center of the circle, every one of the perimeter of the circle, every spot is equidistant to the center, right? That's the nature of a circle. Every spot on the perimeter of the circle is equidistant to the center, which means we know there's many different ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's many different Mahalchim and Torah. You have the Chasidim, you have the Litvaks, you have the Rashivas, you have the Peskim, you have different various types of Chasidim, you have the Lubavitch Chasidim, right? There's many different Shiva parts to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each one of the Tzaddikim will see that even though they're all close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they all have the same, there's many different ways to have that same level of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you're not exactly like each particular tzaddik, each one will see the other ones also have that beautiful close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aleph, number one. Number two, we know that by a circle, if you're missing any part of the circle, it's not a full circle. If any part of the outside perimeter is missing, it's not a full circle. It's almost a full circle. It's not full. What they're going to see from that message is that each one of the mahalchem in connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each one of the avodas, a different form of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are integral. We need all the different mahalchem to form that circle. It's not good enough to have one mahalch. We taka need all the different mahalchem, number two. And number three is that's when you're dancing in a circle, the way it works is each person steps into the place of his friend. You keep going in a circle, you keep stepping in place until everyone stepped into each other's place. That's also part of it. When it's in the future, each one's going to see that even though he has his malach and he has their malach, this one's Svar, this one's Ashka, this one's Svardi, each one's going to get the benefits, each one's going to step into the other one's shoes and see the beauty of Sivir Kodesh Baruch Hu, not just in the way they always serve the Hashem, but in the way the other serve Hashem as well. Beautiful idea. And the Masechta, Mazel Tov, for those that read the last three words, Hajjun Lach Mazel Tov on the Masechta. We start Mishav tomorrow, Masechta's Megillah.